Oh, bless the Lord. Would we stand, everybody, in the presence of our God? Let's stand, everybody. God is so awesome. He is so wonderful. I don't know about you, but I thank God for his grace. Yeah. Come on, somebody, say, thank God for his grace. Grace that is greater than all our sins. I want to say salute to all of you that are here today to worship God. We especially want to recognize the Rotary Club and very good friend, Delta. You look so young among them. That's so good. You know what I'm saying? Amen. And they are under the theme, Fellowship Through Service. Did I get it right? And we're glad that there are young people that understand that life is more than just having fun. It is about helping, serving, reaching out. So we give God praise for you. Now, I want you to get your Bibles. We're going into the book of Philippians chapter 2. We're going back where we were on last Sunday, only we take a different approach today. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Normally, I'm very expository. I try to drain the text. I'm not going to do that today. I want to be more topical, yet with some expose. I can't get away from that. But I want us, as we look into the Word of God today, to have a heart of expectancy, to hear from God, to actually see God, and to be made whole by Him. I'm using the Amplified version of the Bible for scripture reading, and most of my text today will be read from the King James Version. One of them will be from the Message translation. You'll recognize the difference as we go through. So it's either going to be King James, New King James, or the Message. I want to begin with the Amplified Bible for our scripture reading. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. It reads like this, for it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is, strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. May God bless your hearts, the reading, the hearing, but most of all, the application of his word to our hearts and our lives. Would you join us in prayer? Father, we are so grateful. We thank you for what has come before, the songs that remind us of your grace, that your grace is greater than all our sin. As the word says, where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. I pray now, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. You are our God, and you are our Redeemer. We bow down to you in the name of Jesus the Christ. Let the church say, now give the Lord your best praise as you take your seats. Come on, open your mouth and bless him. Don't be afraid to praise him. Don't be afraid to glorify him. Our theme this month as a church is how to amaze people. Our theme for this year is push beyond your means. I want to give you the title of our sermon today up front. Last week we looked at His grace is amazing. Tell somebody, God's grace is amazing. Today I want to, as we continue this series, lift up the theme, the topic, an amazing community. An amazing community. Cane Godman Baptist Church has three major aspirations. First, to become a prayer-saturated church. Somebody say, prayer-saturated church. Now, you're getting weak, y'all. I'm going to need to hear you now. Secondly, to become a biblically literate church. Somebody say, biblically literate church. And finally, to become a grace community of hope. During the next few weeks, we continue to define and illustrate what a grace community of hope looks like. Last week, based on our text, Philippians 2 and 13, we observe that it is not our strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in us, both to will and to work, that is, strengthening, energizing, and creating in us the longing and the ability to fulfill our purpose for His good pleasure. What we discover, it is all about grace. It is about the grace of God. So on last week, we discovered that we are saved and kept safe by grace. We are forgiven by grace. We are empowered by grace. We are healed by grace. We are liberated by grace. We are gifted by grace. We are used by grace. And we are transformed by grace. And lastly, we are matured by grace. Today, we want to focus on the community. Somebody say, community. In a community, people are gifted differently. They have diverse functions, but they have things common. Here at Cane Godman Baptist Church, we are set on becoming a place where people are made whole by creating an environment where wholeness may be experienced. Now, there are so many things that we can say about a grace community of hope, but we'll like to look at only three today. And I want you to work with me. I want you to get excited about what God is doing to us, through us, and for us. So the first thing I want you to understand about the grace community of hope is the word chosen. Tell somebody, chosen. Say chosen. The church, as we understand it, is chosen by God individually and collectively. The church is a gathering of people who confess Jesus Christ as Lord, who come together to worship God, to worship Jesus Christ, and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are chosen by God. I want you to get that in your mind. The grace community of hope is chosen by God. Every believer is chosen by God. First of all, the Bible says that we are chosen in Christ before the foundations of the world. That means that you and I are not afterthought, but God always had us in mind. He selected us, He chose us, He elected us and say, you are mine, I have called you. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, Ephesians 1 and 4. Then notice something else about our chosen status. We are taken from among the people. When God selected us, he chose us from among the people. And here's what he says. And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. I want every believer here to understand that you were not always born again. You were not always saved. You didn't have it together, but God chose you anyhow. And he chose you from among the people. In other words, when God called you, you were not looking for God, but God was looking for you. You were all in a mess, and maybe even now I'm speaking to somebody who is in a mess, and you may not know that God has his hand on your life, but when God chooses you, when God picks you up, God can turn you around. Understand this. You need to understand that you're chosen from among the people, and so that when God brings you out from the people, do not pretend that you do not know the people and you do not understand what the people are doing, but God has taken you out of the people so you can now go back to the people with a new desire, a heart change, ready to make a difference. And such were some of you. You were, some of us here were drunkards. I know you don't look like it now. Some of us were gamblers. Some of us were thieves, thugs. But when God placed his hand on us, he pulled us out, like the old song says, out of the miry clay and set our feet on the rock to stay, not to make us cocky, but he places us in a position where we can now pull someone else who's in the miry clay. Give the Lord praise and glory. Chosen, not based on any merit of our own. Here's what the scripture says in Romans 9:11. For the children not yet being born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. In other words, there was nothing in you that merited the grace of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God. God chose you basically because he loves you and he has a purpose for you. You cannot claim that God chose you because you were all that. As Paul says, look at our calling, brethren. Not many mighty, not many noble, but God has taken the nothings of this world to confound the things that are. Aren't you amazed? Of all the people that God chose, he chose you. You're not the brightest. You're not the smartest. And I got a whole lot of folks who think they're all that and then some. And they're struggling. But my brothers and sisters, when God chooses you, when God selects you, when God puts his hand on you, God makes something out of nothing. And when people would have written you off, God says, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm about to do something that will amaze you. When I'm done with her, you'll have to take notice. That is the grace of God. Chosen. Let me say to you that the church is the only organism on earth that Christ has built and chooses to bless. He himself says, and I say unto you, Peter, that you are indeed Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I got good news for you. I got sad news for the devil. I got sad news for the haters, those who think the church is on its way out. I want you to know that God has built his church. And not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. Give God praise and glory. The church is not at risk of being extinct. The church is not going down. The church is going up. I like the song that says, we are marching to Zion, beautiful Zion. You ain't seen nothing yet. When the church wakes up to its fullest potential, that's when the church will make a difference And that's when the world would understand there is no force on earth that can compare with the church of Jesus Christ. Give him praise and glory. Come on. Chosen. We are chosen and we are on assignment. Tell somebody, I am on assignment. Listen to Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Watch this. But you are the chosen ones by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instrument to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, for nothing or from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted, you are a chosen generation. Tell somebody, I'm chosen. You know, a lot of us try to get into groups and clubs and different places from which we are debarred. But I'm glad this morning that God chose me in spite of me. Come on, somebody. God chose me for an assignment. And listen, because you're chosen on assignment, you cannot try to fit in. God has not called you to fit in. God has called you to infiltrate and to take over. I want to say that one more time. God has called you as a believer to infiltrate and to take over. And that's why the church is not a building. The church is a people. Wherever you are, that's where the church is as a believer. And so you ought to let your light shine and make that difference in the world that God has called you to. Always expanding your circle of influence. Somebody said chosen. The second thing I want to point out to you about the church is the word capacity. Say capacity. Oh, let's just try this out over here. Say capacity. All right, y'all still weak. The Holy Spirit has equipped the church with everything that it needs. I want you to hear God. The Holy Spirit has equipped the church with everything that it needs to exalt the Savior, to edify the saints, and to evangelize the sinner. God has given us the capacity to glorify him. In every believer is the Spirit of God. Understand this. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It is only through the Spirit of God that you have the capacity to worship God. It is God who infuses you. Or text says, it is God who works in you, both to will, both to want to, and both to have the ability to do his will. And then he turns around and gives us the credit for having given us the willingness and the ability to do what he requires in the first place. In other words, you cannot please God without the aid of God. Your works will avail to nothing. Scripture says all our righteousness is but filthy rags. The best that you can produce in yourself as a human being is like filthy rags in God's sight. In other words, it takes God to please God. Somebody's going to hear me now. So we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, given the capacity, first of all, to glorify God, but also given the grace to edify the believers. Listen to the word. But unto every one of you is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Watch this. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, Ephesians 4, 7, 11 through 12. In other words, God has equipped us as believers to edify and to build up one another. No child of God should be pulling down another child of God. I don't care what label you carry on your church. If you are born again, if you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your preferences are. If you are a child of God, God says, I have one church, one faith, one baptism. It's the church of Jesus Christ. And the sooner we understand that we are one in Christ, we cannot all be in the same location. It was never God's intention for all of his children until glory to be the same place. And that's why we are spread it all around the world to make a difference. Listen, we ought to be building up one another. But we are also equipped with power to reach the lost. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, a verse that everybody knows. Great promise from Jesus himself. He says, but you shall receive power. Somebody say power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In other words, every believer, say every believer. Because some of you don't believe this. Some of you don't act like this. You keep saying, I don't have the ability. I'm shy. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but God has given you the spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. If you can shout for your favorite team and be up all night losing your sleep and not being paid while they're getting all the money, if you can shout and lose your voice for man, sure enough, you got the ability to speak for God. Come on. So God has equipped us. God has given us the power. And notice how he does it. Look at the protocol. Look at the procession. He says, first of all, you'll be a witness unto me at home. Then you'll be a witness unto me in the neighborhood. You'll be a witness unto me in the region. And then you go around the world and be a witness unto me. And because of technology now, we don't even have to leave our country to touch the world. Give God praise and glory. Come on. So we have the capacity. I can do all things. Say this with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, don't be worried about it. Some folks are going to misinterpret your confidence for cockiness. We believe and therefore we speak, and we can boldly declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Finally, for today, not only do we have the capacity, not only are we chosen, but I want you to look at the word caring. Somebody say caring. Now, this is going to be a little sobering and yet a lot liberating. So God has chosen us. You are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, and God has chosen you for the purpose of glorifying him. Not only are you chosen, but God has equipped you with the ability, he has given you capacity to do everything that you can do, to be all that you can be. But my brothers and sisters, the heart of a Grace Community Church, that it cares. Tell somebody it cares. The church cares. For far too long, the church has been judgmental, aloof, and condemnatory, often dividing people and driving them away rather than drawing them to Christ. Do you know that Sunday is one of the most divided days of any week? Look at us. Some going there, some going here. And those who go on there feel better than those who go on there. Those who are on the street are looked down by those who are going to church. Somehow, we missed it. So, many of us are often puffed up, endlessly quoting scripture, but irrelevant to the needs of the community that we serve. We need to be aware, my brothers and sisters, that people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. So often we are so busy going to church that we miss opportunities to be the church. We must be careful to show love to all men, says the word, but especially those who are of the household of faith. We must show love to all men. So, as we get ready to go down from this place this morning, there are two questions that must be answered. How do we draw people to Christ? And how do we amaze people? Jesus himself answers the very first question when he said, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." So it begs another question. How do we lift Jesus up? And I know, we think that lifting up Jesus is only about lifting our hands and shouting, "Glory!" Or picking up our Bibles and reading a few passages, or staying on our knees and praying. That all has to do with it, but that's not the only thing. As a matter of fact, that has become so much of a ritual that most times we are disingenuous. We are not sincere about it. We are trying to make a show. And that's why Jesus says, be careful that you do not go standing in the streets showing off how long you can pray and how eloquently you can pray. You're not going to be heard by me because you speak eloquently and long. You will be heard by me when you are sincere in your praying. So here's what I want you to do. Practice this. Go into your closet, close your door, pray to me in secret, learn how to have a good private life and a private devotion so that I can now bring you out in public, because when you've done your private devotion and learn how to humble yourself, you will not be cocky when you come out in the public. The problem is, what we don't understand is that Jesus spent 30 years. Watch this now. He spent 30 years learning the ways of God in private devotion and took only 3 1/3 years to minister. Now, we want to do the reverse. We don't want to sit down and learn nothing, because we already know it. So everybody wants to have a ministry. And the church now is named after me, because now it's my ministry. Where is God? How do we lift him up? So I'm glad you asked. I want to give you some practical examples of how to lift him up. So we lift him up by being the best that we can be. We lift up Jesus by using our gifts and anointing, by being great stewards of our time, our talents, our treasure, and our temple. It is my strong conviction that excellence is still the best advertisement for the kingdom of God. And therefore, Jesus says, as he spoke through Paul, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Lazy and Christian don't go together. You can't be a Christian and lazy. If you were to come up for appraisal in a group of employees of 50 as a child of God, you should not be at the bottom. You should be the most exemplary employer or employee as well. What the problem is, I've heard some folks say, "I will never hire another Christian. They thief too much. They lie too much. Now, what you may not have is a Christian. You may not have a Christian. You may have a hypocrite. You may have somebody in the name of Christ talking about Christ, but that don't mean you're saved. A child of God understands that he is a witness for God, and therefore he must live an exemplary life, not perfect, but showing the praises of God. How do you lift him up? Let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. I know you're a little uncomfortable, so let me move on. Finally, how do we amaze people? We amaze people, according to John 13:35, by our love. According to Acts, by having all things common. John 13:35 says, by this, Jesus himself says, will they know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another? Not how much scripture you can quote, not how many degrees you have behind your name, but your love. Tell somebody, love. In this world where everybody seems to be motivated by money, power, and prestige, where divide and conquer seems to be the order of the day, God is now calling us to a place where people from different backgrounds, preferences, practices, and positions share all things common, where we are in one accord, and God, as it were, is free to move, and great things happen, and people are amazed. People are not amazed by your eloquence. People are amazed how God can take you. Here's what the Bible says. The disciples, the apostles, were unlearned and ignorant men. They won't get in most of our pulpits today because they don't speak like us, Sister Delta. They don't put all the, you know, they don't have the diction. And no. They're going to tell you, leave a fish alone. But the Bible says that these unlearned and ignorant men turned the world upside down. It was not because of their eloquence, but because they were infused by the Spirit of God and they had all things common, and through them God did great things. People are sick and tired of us. People are sick and tired of seeing us. They want to see Christ. Now watch this now. I want you to listen. I want you to listen to Dr. Luke as he reports on the movement of his day. Follow me in Acts chapter 2. We're just about there. Look at verses 7 and 8. Listen to Dr. Luke. Verse 7, Dr. Luke says, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one in his own language in which we were born? In other words, they were so infused by the Spirit and the love of God that they were able to do the impossible. My brothers and sisters, we ought to come to the place and time where we are so yielded to Christ that God will do amazing things in and through us. As I bring this down, come over with me just a little further in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 43 through 47. It doesn't really need any commentary from me. I want you to hear this. How do we amaze people? Whether you use the word awe, wonder, or amaze, here it is. Everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles. And all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal is celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praise God. People in general liked what they saw. Every day their number grew as God added those who were saved. An amazing community of grace recipients turned their world upside down by their love and their caring. Listen to Acts 3, 16 through 11. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. People are amazed when they see the power of God operating through us. When we can love the unlovable, when we can forgive our enemies, when we can treat those who have treated us wrong good, when we can wish the best for those who wished us bad, then people are amazed, because that's not natural. I want to close with this story. How important it is to be kind, to be caring. There's a young lady who worked in a meat factory. She was about to close shop and decided to go into the cold room, otherwise known as the freezer. She was going to check something. Unfortunately, a few moments after she entered the room, the door closed. Now, if you know anything about a freezer of that size, it's ramshut. Anybody knows that old word? Ramshut, jam shut. Can't hear a thing. Those who are in are in, who are out are out. So she shouted, she screamed, she knocked, she did everything she could, but nobody could hear her. She couldn't hear anybody, and nobody could hear her. About 5 minutes later, the security guard opened the door. Not because he heard a cry, but I'll tell you in a minute why. He opened the door. She was almost lifeless, just about to die. He opened the door. There's a lot of messages in there, but I'm going to stay focused on the one that I want to show you. So after she recovered, she had an opportunity to talk with the security guard. She said, "Now, this is unusual. You don't come here. You don't work in here. You have no reason to be in this freezer." He said, "Listen, I've been working here for 35 years. 35 years. To some people, I'm invisible. To a lot of people, I'm nobody. But for a few people like you, I am somebody. The reason I'm here, the reason I came, because every morning you came in to work, you always said hello. Most people just pass by. But you, every morning, religiously, without fail, would say hello. And then when you're leaving, you would say goodbye, see you tomorrow, have a good night. You have no idea, lady, how much that means to me. So I saw you came in, and you hailed me, you said hi. And then I looked at my watch when your shift is over, and you should be on your way home. And I didn't hear you say anything. So I said, something must be wrong. So I went searching everywhere for you. And after I searched everywhere, I finally came to the freezer. I open the door, and there you were. The reason I came to that door is because you showed me kindness, as simple as it seems to you. Your hello and goodbye made me feel like somebody. Some of us, we have our collars and our titles. We have our positions, and we can articulate, and we can manipulate, and we can do all kinds. Some folks say you can sell ice to an Eskimo, but you have no love. You're cold. You're indifferent. You're too much about yourself. This young lady, it's a true story, was saved by her kindness. You never know. You, as an old song says, you are the only hands that Jesus has. You are the only feet that he has. You are the only voice that people hear. A grace community is chosen. A grace community has capacity. But if you ask me, above all, a grace community is caring. Let us stand. Let's bow our heads. God is building a community of grace here at Cane Garden Bay. Some of us are still aloof and on our high horses, and God is saying, come down. The way you would lift me up and the way you will amaze people is by having things in common and caring for one another and caring for others. Maybe as early or recent as this morning, you may have passed someone by because you look at your clock and that's your fault and you realize that you were late for church, but you're already late. And so instead of giving them a ride, you rushed on by. Or this is going to happen tomorrow to somebody on your way to work. Same problem you have, tardiness. Or whatever the reason is, you just got a new vehicle and it's so nice and spanking that you think it's too good to help somebody. God is saying, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was destitute, you came and ministered unto me. And the question is, when, Lord, did we see you like that? And he says, in as much as you have done it, watch this, to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. We want to be in high favor and great company. And God says, I am not necessarily found in the great places. I'm found at the most unsuspecting places where nobody wants to go, where people have no hope, where nobody cares. And I would to God that we would open our hearts so that this church will open its doors to everybody and let them understand that no matter who you are, where you are, how long you've been what you are, God says you're welcome. And if God welcomes you, who am I to turn you away? I want us now to open our hearts. Believers, we have been unkind. We've been uncaring. Would you come with me and say, God, as of today, I know I'm chosen and I know I have capacity, but I want you to love through me. I just need about 6 or 7 believers. Jesus had only 12 and doesn't take the whole church, just a few of us. Is there anybody who, I don't care how much you've been doing, there's always more to do. Would you come and say, God, I am available to you. Would you join me around this altar? God, I want to be your voice. I want to be your hands. I want to be your feet. I want to be your representative. Would you come and join us around this altar? As we open our hearts to God. Father, We thank you for this day. You're building a grace community of hope. And I pray that we will open our hearts to be receptive, to be accepting of those you send to us, that we would love each other and be drawn closer to each other, that we would not suffer in silence, but we will share all things common. And that's the kind of love that not only brings us together, but that's the kind of love that will draw men to Christ. We're not here to sing and song good. That's not our purpose. That's our platform. We're here to draw men to Christ. So whether we preach or whether we sing, the main goal is to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. Sing grace, grace, grace. God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all.
As we close this part of our service.